This podcast is part of the Bombpod Media Network.
Hi guys, welcome to another subscribe-worthy episode of The Media Matters. I'm your host Chantel, and I have my delicious friend with me, Miss Marie Rose. And tonight we are bringing you part two, that's right, part two of the goodness, of the haunted or cursed movies and movie sets, whatever you want to say, doesn't matter. There's a lot of creepiness going on. And, you know, part one was a lot of fun to do, and part two was definitely a freaking thrill. So we're excited to be here again to bring you the goods, because it is October, my favorite month of the whole year. I don't even know why we have November through September. I really just don't. So it should always be October. Anyway, you guys, just want to shout out all the kick-ass podcasters out there. There are so many to name. I am so behind on my episodes because I keep finding new incredible podcasts. So, I mean, just check them out. Go out there, do a search. Supernatural, paranormal, ghost stories, true crime, comedies, parenting, whatever. Like, there is a podcast for everybody, I promise you. I super promise. And some of the stellar ones are on Bombpod Media. Make sure you check out Bombpod Media Network. It is thebomb.com. I've talked about it before, but please make sure you check them out on Twitter, on Facebook, at the website. I'll leave everything in the show notes for you guys, but so many incredible podcasts: Hillbilly Horror Stories, Mysterious Radio, Stat 36 times. There's so many. So many. I can't even keep up, but I really, really am enjoying all the podcasts on this network and so many others that I'm checking out, such as the always fantastic Stranger Than and Don't Break the Oath and Color Me Dead podcast. And I mean, the list goes on and on and on and on. There's so many incredible ones. So please make sure you show them some love, subscribe, leave them an iTunes review, and make sure you do the same for yours truly, because we are working hard for you to bring you the goodness. Also, you guys, don't forget that we have our Patreon page up. And if you guys have any rewards that you want to see, anything that you would like to receive yourselves, make sure you let us know at the medium at themediamatters.com, because, you know, we want to make sure you guys are getting what you want. That said, you guys, let's get down to the nitty gritty, the cursed movies and movie sets, because this is where the goodness is. You guys ready? You ready? Here we go. All right, you guys, so as promised, we are hitting you with part two of the cursed movies, movie sets, whatever, and we're jumping right in.
The scary story behind the scary story.
The true story behind the true story behind the true story. That's what we're bringing you. I like that.
Like the mirror, facing the mirror. Yeah.
For to protect and trap. All right, so let me tell you what's happening right now. Marie and I have just eaten our body weight in Italian food, as is our nature to do.
Yeah, I think they figured that out about us by now. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So if we're a little loopier than usual, it's just the carbs.
Oh yeah, the food high.
Right, not to be confused with carbonara. Which Marie had.
Always. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they just don't whip up a plate the minute I walk into the door.
I know. Remember, like, in the old movies when they're like, oh, will you have your usual, Mr. Block and Pfeffer?
Right.
You know? Anyway, so let's get on with the show. So in part one, we talked about Poltergeist and The Omen. Both. A lot of junk went down.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. Poltergeist with their real human skeletons.
Right. Which was like the catalyst, if you will.
Right. And then The Omen.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it was an omen.
Right. Well, Poltergeist had, it was what? The lightning strikes and the deaths, like Dominic Dunn passed away. Heather O'Rourke passed away. What else went down?
Julian Beck.
Oh, right. Will Sampson.
Yep.
Oh, yes. There was a lot that went down. Because they used those real skeletons.
Bad, bad mojo.
I mean,
bad mojo.
It's just crazy. Like, it just occurred to me that in the movie, they have, you know, these bodies that are left, you know, disrespected. And then in real life, they use these bodies that were, you know, disrespected.
So,
you know what I mean?
I wonder what happened to the skeletons.
I don't know.
Did they eventually get buried and put to peace?
The ones in the movie or the ones they used as props?
The props.
I don't know.
I would hope those skeletons got laid to rest in a proper manner.
You know, that's a good question.
A respectful manner.
That's a good question. I wonder, like, how long is a skeleton used in, like, medical school? Mm-hmm. And then, like, what happens after?
Well, apparently they sell them.
Apparently to Steven Spielberg.
Right.
He can get anything he wants.
Oh, yeah. He's Steve. Mm-hmm. Steven.
Mm-hmm. I just call him S. That's how well we know each other.
SS.
Yes. S squared. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. That's a really good question. I would like to know if anybody knows that's gone through medical school. Or you may not know.
Or they in a...
Or well, you like, you procure skeletons, if you will.
Well, I wonder if the movie skeletons are sitting in a movie warehouse somewhere. Or
the real?
Right, the ones they used at Poltergeist.
Oh,
whether they're just sitting in a
storage unit.
In a storage unit somewhere. You know, like Raiders of the Lost Ark, how the Lost Ark just goes into a warehouse never to be seen again. Right. I wonder if that's what happened to the real human skeletons.
Oh, that'd be sad.
I'm hoping they got a proper burial and got the respect.
I hope so. If not, someone is still being haunted.
Right.
Someone or many someones.
Right.
As they should be. Because that's just mean. It's wrong. It's wrong is what it is. Mm-hmm. Okay. So the party continues, you guys, with Rosemary's Baby. Now then, Marie Rose, have you seen Rosemary's Baby?
No. Okay. I was 1 year old when it got released.
I was negative 10 years old. I do believe it was my age. I wasn't even a glimmer in someone's eye. Okay, so here is the lowdown with Rosemary's Baby. So it's about a young couple that moves into a creepy AF looking apartment building, that's rumored to have a history of cannibalism and murder, right? Already, I'm like, hell no.
Move out.
No, run. Don't move in.
Right, right. Run. In. Run.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's Rosemary and her hubby Guy. They start talking about starting a family. And, well, let me back up. They move in, Avi, and they're befriended by some neighbors. Also creepy AF. In particular, like these two neighbors that are like right next door. So then, fast forward. Rosemary and her hubby Guy start talking about starting a family. And then comes the night they're supposed to, you know, do the deed and make the kid. Let's
get it on.
This little ditty for you on this late night. So the neighbor couple, the McCreepertons, they come over and they bring Guy and Rosemary each like their own dessert. It was like some chocolate, something like a chocolate mousse or something. And Rosemary eats some of her, like a few bites, and then she throws it away because it tastes like chalky or some crap. Like, it just wasn't tasting right.
She didn't like it.
And so after this like little incident with the chocolate mousse or the chocolate, you know, heaven in a cup or whatever it was, she passes out. I know. Is that it?
They drugged her?
I am gonna let you figure that out with the rest of this synopsis. Okay. So Rosemary passes out and she has this jacked up dream that she is being raped by like a demonic presence. Mm-hmm. And like her husband and the neighbors are like standing around watching. What in the is going on? You know what I'm saying?
That's some bad pudding.
It's the stuff of nightmares.
That's why you don't eat before you go to sleep.
Yes. And don't eat chalky pudding.
Right.
It's no one's friend. You are crazy. Okay, so she has this crazy ass dream. She wakes up with scratches, like scratches on her freaking body. And her husband. Listen, I mean, okay, anyway, before I jump into that junk, her husband says to her, oh, yeah, I had sex with you while you were passed out because it was our night to conceive. There are so many F-bombs I want to like fly out of my mouth right now. It's ridiculous. So number one, like, I don't know, like, you are so effed up and just really have some bad karmic S coming your way if you do this to someone that's passed out.
Right. That's not right.
Right. Like, even like married, I feel that is such a line that you don't cross. It's wrong in like so many ways.
Right.
Literally in like every dimension. That is wrong. That's a no-no. So yeah, like he legit got it on with her while she was passed out from the bad pudding.
What a jerk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, fast forward, like all kinds of things start to happen. Like people have these accidents and, you know, I'm doing my air quotes, my rabbit ears, as Marie calls
her bunny fingers.
Mm-hmm, my bunny fingers. And so Rosemary starts suspecting that their neighbor friends are actually part of a cult and they want to take her baby and use the baby in a ritual. Right. Because she does end up pregnant, in case I didn't say that.
Okay.
So her husband's a little nasty rape act or whatever he did. It worked. And her piece of crap husband is going along with it in order to advance his acting career, right?
His acting career?
Right. He's like an actor or a wannabe actor.
Okay.
So she ends up telling some people about her suspicions, like this doctor, for example, who was supposed to be treating her and isn't treating her because the neighbors were like, oh, no, use our doctor. He's the best and whatever the hell. So she tells them or tells him about, you know, her suspicions and he thinks she's crazy. So he ends up calling the husband and whoever the hell else, and they come and get her and bring her back to the apartment and, you know, with all the crazies and stuff, and she goes into labor. So the doctor that was referred to her by the neighbors, the crazy McCrazytons or whatever they are,
right?
He sedates her because, you know, naturally she's in labor. So that's what you do, is you sedate a woman. And when she wakes up, they tell her that the baby died. So I don't remember like the series of events. I'm just going off of memory. So she ends up, I guess, like being alone in the apartment. She finds this like secret door in a closet, like hallway closet or something. And so this doorway that's inside this closet leads to the apartment of the McCreepertons, mm-hmm, right next door with the chalky pudding. And she hears a baby crying. I know. I know. So she goes in and discovers that all the tenants are in there standing around the baby. And so she naturally is like, what the? So when she goes to go, you know, look at her newborn son, she freaks out because his eyes are all jacked up. Super crazy. So they tell her that he has his father's eyes. And she's like, guy's eyes don't look like that. And then they tell her, no, but the devil's eyes do. Like,
oh, geez.
That's not word for word. But yeah, so basically they're like, so her piece of crap husband tells her that she just did an awesome thing. She's super lucky to have birthed the child of the devil himself. Yeah. As a reward for having done this, they will be rewarded with riches and fame, and like his acting career will be like, you know, the stuff of dreams and all that crap. And so they urge her to take care of the baby. This crazy woman goes, looks at the baby, picks him up, and has this like creepy effing smile. And then you assume that she is going to take care of the baby. She's taking care of the devil spawn.
Oh, and that's how they end it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
I know. It's not right. It's just not right. Okay. So the point being, this movie, also like demonic in nature, just like, you know.
Right.
Like The Omen. So stuff jumps off. And the first unlucky person that had anything go down with this movie was the composer. And his name is Christoph Komeda, I believe it is. And so the details of his death are still kind of scarce. But Roman Polanski, who was the director of this film, said that in the autumn of 1968, the then 37-year-old Comito was roughhousing at a party when he fell off a rocky slope and into a four-month coma. So it's the same way that Rosemary's suspicious friend ends up dying in the book, I guess.
Okay.
And I don't remember if that's how he dies in the movie. I can't remember. In any event, Comito never regained consciousness and died in Poland, you know, a little bit later.
Yeah. He died of a brain clot?
I don't know.
That's what I read, is that he died of a brain clot basically a year after the film.
Gotcha. So then in 1969, April of 69, producer William Castle, sick with worry from the hate mail he received constantly, was suddenly stricken with severe kidney stones. Now, is that curse worthy? Not really. However, while delirious in the hospital, he hallucinated scenes from the film and was said to have yelled, "Rosemary, for God's sake, drop the knife." As hospital staff, if I heard that, I'd be like, I'm grabbing myself, I'm out, bye.
Yeah, see ya.
I'm out of here. So he recovered just barely and never made a Hollywood hit again. Director Roman Polanski. Now, this is like a super famous story.
Right.
So he was married to Sharon Tate. And in the late 60s, I guess it was like 69, like July of 69 is the last time he saw her, because he would travel back and forth to England and stuff. So he's noted as saying, like, in his autobiography, that he had this grotesque thought when he saw her last in July of 69 that he would never see her again.
Like a premonition.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so in August 8th, I believe, Sharon Tate was brutally murdered by the Manson family. And it was her unborn baby, and some friends that she had over that day. And it was, you know, the whole helter-skelter, and it was really sad. I've watched specials on that before, and it was just so brutal. So following that, and this was like quite some time later, the building that they lived in, the exterior shots are of an actual building, a famous building called the Dakota Building in New York City.
Right.
And that's the building where John Lennon was shot and killed in 1980. And so is that a direct, you know, correlation to the movie? I don't know. So they use the same building, though.
Right. But I also read that when they found Sharon Tate and the others, mm-hmm. that the Charles Manson and his cult had actually written Beatle lyrics in her blood around the house.
Yeah, it was the lyrics to Helter Skelter.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And because he felt that the Beatles, their songs spoke to him.
Mm-hmm.
So that John Lennon got murdered outside of the Dakota Hotel.
Mm-hmm. It was no accident.
Right.
No coincidence.
Yeah. You know, the Rosemary's apartment building. Mm-hmm. It's like it came full circle. Mm-hmm. It's just so creepy.
It is creepy.
Creepy.
Oh no, I know. Yeah, I researched the Dakota Building just a little bit. Like, oh my gosh.
Is there other stories around the hotel?
No, it's an apartment. It's an apartment building.
Yeah.
But to get an apartment in that place, I don't even know that like your firstborn is enough.
Oh, wow.
It is like a serious application process. Like, they want you to go years back in your financials.
Oh, wow.
It is so crazy. So crazy. They do a full blown background check. I mean, people like Madonna and I'm trying to remember who else was on that list.
I wouldn't want to be in that building.
Right. But like, people like that have been turned down for an apartment. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. And people that live there, like, never give their apartments up. Like, so extreme, this place. You cannot go and, like, just replace doors and windows. You have to, like, go through this approval process. And then, if you're approved to do that, the doors and windows that you replace, the originals have to go into, like, this special storage place. Like, they keep it all. So crazy.
Like, they think their stuff is museum worthy or something?
I have no idea.
Like, it's going to go to the Smithsonian because they're who they are?
I have no idea. It's
were there
crazy.
Hoarders?
I don't know.
One or the other?
But, you know, there's no celebrity privilege there. It's craziness.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd want to be in a place with that kind of history. Mass murders and, I mean, John Lennon died there.
I know.
It's like, no.
I think Yoko still lives there.
Oh, I don't think I could do that.
I don't think I could either.
Get out. I couldn't do it.
I'd at least like rent it out.
Oh, yeah. Well, if you were allowed to, they might not allow that.
Oh, right.
If they're that exclusive, right. They might not allow it.
True. Good point. Anyway, moving on. So I'm sorry, John Lennon and all the people that perished as a result of this craziness. So then we're moving on to another movie that is said to be so cursed. Can you guess what it is?
Exorcist?
Mm-hmm. The one and only. Have you seen this? No, you haven't seen this movie.
No, and there's a reason I haven't seen it. It's because when I was little, my parents had a friend, Nancy and Andy. And Andy was reading the book. And I was in elementary school at the time. But I remember... I remember it because they were all laughing so hard about it. Halfway through the book, he got up. He was having nightmares, grabbed the book, threw it in the furnace in the middle of the night because his nightmares were so horrible. Now I'm in elementary school and this was a grown man throwing a book into the furnace because of the nightmares it gave to him. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, when the movie came out, not reading it, nothing to do with it. Not seeing the movie. Mm-mm. Nope.
Yeah. This movie was even before my time too. I think like when I was growing up, I had seen this movie on TV.
This is the one with the spinning head. Right?
Yeah, Linda Blair.
I remember previews. Mm-hmm. That's all it took.
So I had seen the movie on TV where they cut a lot of stuff out. And I don't even know if I had seen it in its entirety on TV, like even the edited for television version. And then they re-released it like early 2000s. I don't remember when it was. They did a re-release, not a reboot, but a re-release.
Okay.
And the re-release included scenes that had been cut from the original release. And so I think this was like a cut scene, but Reagan, who is played by Linda Blair, comes down the stairs backwards. And I mean, like on her hands and feet, she's like crawling backwards.
Yeah.
And not even how do I even explain it? It's not upside down. It's like, you know, her, instead of like, you know, you would like crawl on your hands and feet and your stomach is facing the ground, like it's parallel to the ground.
Right.
Her stomach was parallel to like the ceiling, like coming down like that. And her head was like twisted around. I was like, what in the holy hell is this crap? And I think of like all the scenes, maybe because I had never seen it before, it freaked me out so bad. I'm like, oh, hell no. This is some. And I went with my husband, Sean, and like a few of our friends. I don't remember. And how any of us talk Sean into going to see that is beyond me. Like, it was a magic act, I swear, because you know how much, like, you don't like scary movies. He doesn't like them times 10.
Oh, my goodness.
He's like,
and you got
no.
him to go to that.
I don't know that it was me. I have no idea how any of us, maybe as a collective, we convinced him. I don't know to this day. And maybe he like blocked it out. I really don't know. I know he was there, but yeah. And she comes down the stairs like this. And I was
that is stuff of nightmares.
It is. It was so creepy. So creepy. Like, it's just, it really is one of those movies. Even though I've seen it, I don't watch it. Like, if I am flipping through and it's on, I'm like, nope, keep going. Because it just has such like a demonic nastiness to it. Mm-mm. I can't hang. I can't. I love a good scary movie, but.
But that one, that's the movie that crosses the line for you.
It really does. Like, it really was just so. Oh,
that says a lot.
Yeah, And I don't know. Like, I love a good scary movie. There's something about the older scary movies that really do it for me, because I just feel like they had to be so much more creative with bringing the fear, where now it's like, you know, everything is so computerized and
special effects.
And yeah. And it just like kind of takes something away, in my opinion. But so like the newer movies that have like the possession and crap, they're such a waste to me. And I've seen some of them and I'm like, this movie freaking blows. But Exorcist, like, it still takes the cake. It really does. Like, it just, woo. Mm-hmm. I went to, in San Diego, they do, I wonder if they still do it, but they do, this radio station, 91X, does the Haunted Hotel, or at least used to. And it's a haunted situation, haunted house or whatever. And this thing is like 10, 15 minutes long. Like, so it feels like a lifetime when you're going through it. And it was like the first or second time I had gone. And one of the scenes they had was with this crap, like some exorcist looking stuff.
Contortioned bodies. And
sweet baby Jesus. I think like when that scene came up, one of our friends got trampled because we were all like trying to get behind him and refusing to get any closer to this scene. Oh God, it was awful. It was awful. So anyway, Exorcist released December 26th of 1973. So it's a good family Christmas flick.
Oh, of course.
Full of gay times is what it is. So the movie is based on true events that took place in the late 40s and involved a 14-year-old boy named Ronald Doe. And according to the stuff I read, and I've seen some specials too, and I don't quite remember this, but according to the stuff I read, his experience started because he used a Ouija board to try to communicate with one of his aunts that had crossed over.
So we're starting with a Ouija board again.
Starting with a Ouija board.
Oh, people never learn.
Never. Don't they listen to our show? God. Baby Jesus. Anyway, so in the movie, Reagan, who is the kid played by Linda Blair, and Chris, her mom, are living in Georgetown temporarily while Chris, the mom, is filming a movie. And so Reagan decides to be a winner and she plays with a Ouija board. Because that's what you do when you've got nothing else to do, as winners do. And I speak as a winner.
Because, right. You can relate to this child.
Right. The club of winners. So she becomes chummy with an entity that she calls Captain Howdy. Already that name, I'm like, listen, if this is a spirit guide, if it's a demon, I don't give a hot damn who it is, but Captain Howdy. No.
Sounds like a kid's show.
Which makes it creepier, right?
Yeah, it does.
Like it's trying to be innocent.
Yeah. Captain Howdy.
Right. It's like it. The clown with the freaking red balloon and...
And the sharp teeth.
Right. Very friendly. Mm-hmm. He wants you to float too. Mm-hmm. So anyway, she talks about Captain Howdy and... You know, stuff gets real from there. Real, real. So all kinds of stuff starts to happen. I'm going to do the bunny ears or the whatever, you know, accidents.
Yeah. Her bunny fingers just went up.
My bunny fingers. So ultimately, there's an exorcism that's performed. And seriously, so hellish. Like this girl, like she goes through it. So in the end, I'm just going to fast forward because I'm sure you can assume already based on all the other movies with the demonic crap what happens. But in the end, she's okay. She walks away with no memory, goes back to LA with her mom, but the same can't be said for some of the other people in the movie, not the characters, but the actors or the crew or whatever. So like I said, this is based off of a real event, and William Blatty wrote his 1971 novel, The Exorcist, based on the real life exorcism of the boy, known through the pseudonym as Ronald Doe. So, you know, better than John Doe. They got a little clever.
A little creative.
Mm-hmm. A little clear. What you said. So Catholic priests at Georgetown University Hospital performed the real life exorcism, but had to stop when the boy managed to get free from his restraints, pull a freaking bed spring out of his mattress, and slash one of the priest's arms. No. No.
That's the real life version?
Apparently. Yeah. Ronald Doe.
Whoa.
I know.
Whoa.
I know. It's, I, no.
That's crazy.
No. Mm-mm. On my best CrossFit day, I could not pull a spring out of a friggin' mattress.
No.
Mm-mm. On my strongest day, I couldn't do it.
No. And I love my mattress.
Yeah. Mine doesn't. Mine is foam.
I like my mattress. It's nice and comfy.
Mm-hmm.
Did I mention I like my sleep?
Why would you deface it like that?
Right.
It's not nice. Anyway.
So he really was possessed to do that.
He was like possessed. Or hungry. I feel like if I'm hungry enough, I might be able to pull that off. So when Blatty wrote the novel, Ronald's family did request that the character be changed to a girl in order to protect the kid's identity. So apparently, you know, bunny ears, I don't remember what you call it, but
air quote.
Yeah. So he went on to live a normal life with no memory of the incident, retiring decades later from NASA. What?
Interesting.
What? I know. Maybe you'll see him when you're in Houston.
Maybe. No offense, but hope not. Don't need to meet anybody associated with this.
Yeah. I'm sure he's not just roaming the streets waiting for any of us.
Mm-hmm. Probably not.
Mm-hmm. So then, shooting was delayed after the set caught fire, destroying what was supposed to be the McNeil's home, which is Reagan and Chris. Director William Friedkin blamed the accident on a winged creature with talons.
What?
That sounds crazy to me, but he's basically like, oh, it was a bird. So it seemed a pigeon had found its way into one of the circuit boxes, which caused the fire. What's creepy about the fire? The set where Reagan's room was, mm-hmm. totally intact. Everything else like burned around it, but not the room.
That's odd.
Right? I know. Because that's where the devil was.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's like, back up, fire. Not in here.
See, the devil is like, this is my room.
You just picture him like stomping his foot. Yep. I said no.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So during the filming, actress Ellen Burstyn, who she played Chris, the mom, she was injured when the possessed Reagan throws her to the ground in the film. So the take was actually used in the film, and the blood-curdling scream she lets out is completely genuine because there was something with like the cord that was attached to her, and the stunt went wrong, and she like permanently injured her back when that was filmed.
No.
Yeah. So horrible.
And so that scream was genuine.
It was legit. It was like at the beginning of Jaws or whatever, like the girl when she's in the water. Have you seen Jaws?
I think, again, bits and pieces.
Okay, so the girl's like in the water at the beginning and she's like, you know, telling her boyfriend to come out. Oh, it's not. You don't. You just don't. You don't do it. So she's out there. And Jaws comes and he attacks her and he eats her up, whatever. And she lets out this like blood curdling scream. Well, it's because she had cables attached to her and there were divers in the water and they would like pull on them and, you know, to help her kind of like flail around and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I guess like they pulled in opposite directions too hard at the same time.
Oh, no.
And really hurt her.
Oh, no.
She got pretty jacked up. So. Kind of same thing here. Someone's ready for bed.
I hear puppies whining
outside. Mm-hmm. It's like it's bedtime for them. And aww. They're like, Mama, where are you? Mama's got to work. So, you know, chances are good that any film that takes over a year to complete will be associated with bad incidents. I mean, I'm guessing, especially when you're filming about the devil and possession and crap. But, you know, this movie, it had some deaths. I mean, so we've got the fire. We have Ellen Burstyn's injury, which is a permanent injury. She still has, suffers from pain from that. Actors Jack McGowran and Vasiliki Malieros. I probably butchered those. They both died while the film was in post-production. And what makes their death strange is that their characters died in the film as well.
Ooh.
Marie's face, creepy. You guys. Other deaths that occurred during the filming of The Exorcist include Linda Blair's grandfather and Max von Sydow's brother, who died on Max's first day of shooting. Also while filming, the son of Jason Miller, who played Father Damien Karras, was nearly killed when a motorcycle hit him. Too much. Too much. While filming one of the possession scenes, Linda was thrown out of bed when a piece of rigging broke, causing her to injure her back. So just like Ellen, you know, there was a, you know, a freak accident that happened in the stunt. Additionally, after the film's release, Linda received so many death threats that the studio had to hire bodyguards to escort her for the next 6 months.
Why did she receive death threats?
I think it was because people were so worked up about this movie being evil and demonic, and it's stirring up, kind of like The Omen, it's stirring up this, you know, like the evil in the world, because then there was John Lennon's death and, you know, all these other deaths that were kind of tied to these movies and the Manson family. And they, a lot of people just associated the two and said, oh, you made this and you unleashed some stuff and, you know, how dare you, and burn in hell.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, very nice people.
So take it out on her.
Yeah, very nice people. So in 1987, actress Mercedes McCambridge, who played the demonic voice of Pazuzu, and Pazuzu is the demon that possesses Reagan, she was a victim of a horrific tragedy when her son murdered his wife and children before taking his own life.
Oh, that's horrible.
I know. What the... Dude, in Poltergeist, we have Lou, who is murdered, axed to death, butchered up. In The Omen, it was... what's his name? I can't remember his name. His son that killed himself like 2 months before shooting. And then we have, you know, this actress's son who kills his family and himself. It's just horrible. So many did believe that the actual film was cursed and that playing it through a projector was an invitation for demonic possession. So at this time, televangelist Billy Graham stated, there's a power of evil in the film, in the fabric of the film itself. When it was released, the film was banned in every Middle Eastern country but Lebanon. During the Roman premiere, audiences had to fight their way through a torrential downpour accompanied by thunder and lightning in order to get to the theater. Once inside, many claimed to hear a horrific, almost demonic cry coming from outside once the film started rolling. No. No again. Nope. 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 No. Mm-mm.
That's messed up.
Mm-hmm. And at one showing, a woman was so frightened she passed out in the theater and broke her jaw when she fell. She later sued the filmmaker, suggesting that subliminal messages caused the accident. And Warner Brothers ended up settling for an undisclosed amount. I mean, mm-mm. There was like, I know I've read too that there were a lot of people that got physically ill in these movies or in the theaters when they would go see this. It was like...
From fear?
I guess. I guess. I don't know. So at several points while they were filming, they brought in priests to bless the set. And at one point, there was a priest that seemed sure that Satan didn't want the film to be made, just like in The Omen. And to date, most of the surviving cast and crew don't think there was a curse. They deny the whole thing. But to me, I'm like, there's too much stuff that went down. It's kind of, it's just crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. You just cemented it. I'm not watching that movie.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm. Nope.
I wouldn't do it. So, I mean, the last thing I have is some strange activity that occurred, you know, after the movie was shot with, you know, like I said, there were people that were getting physically ill. They were, you know, fainting and passing out and whatever at the theaters. And there was a screening in Rome with, a church nearby, and the church was struck by lightning after the audience was already inside the theater. And there was a giant cross on top of the church that in the lightning strike broke off and landed in the plaza below. And I guess like somehow hit the theater too, or landed just like right next to it. I have to go back and read it, but just too much crazy crap. I'm like, how are you lightning coming and striking planes when people are filming this stuff, and like striking crosses and, you know, right off of a church and fires happening. And I mean, I don't know. It could all be coincidence, I guess.
Yeah, that's crazy stuff. I mean, mm-hmm. So with the plethora of scary movies that are out today, mm-hmm. you think that has anything to do with all the craziness that's happening in the world? Or it's just a reflection
no.
of it?
No. I think all that crazy is just going on its own. I don't know. There's so much crap going on. I think it really just could be attributed to a lot of things, if you ask me.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you guys. I know there's a lot of different movies out there that have, you know, supposed curses, and but those four were the ones that really stood out to me, and I've seen all of those, and they got a lot of creep. I'm not gonna lie. Especially The Exorcist. Nope, and nope, and nope. Mm-mm. Ain't gonna happen.
Yeah. I feel like we need to offset this by doing a spiel about happy movies.
What should we talk about first? I don't even know. I can't. Oh, Clueless. We should do one on Clueless. Have you seen Clueless?
No, I'm clueless about that.
That's a happy movie. It's a fun 90s movie with ditzy people.
The 90s had a lot of happy movies.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It did have a lot of happy movies. I can't think of others, though. The 90s brought my all-time... maybe not all-time. I don't want to offend my other scary movies, but it did bring one of my all-time favorites, Scream. Oh, my God. Mm-mm. That movie makes me joyous anytime. I just love it.
Is that one of those parody movies?
Mm-mm.
No?
Mm-mm.
It's a genuine scary movie?
Mm-hmm. But it's so good. I remember when the trailer first came out and Nev Campbell, who was on Party of Five at the time and, like, you know, whatever. So she in the trailer is talking about how she hates scary movies because the girl's always running up the stairs when she should be running out the front door and whatever. Like, and I was like, oh, my God, that's so genius. That's true. That's how, like, every scary movie has been, like every slasher movie. And so I was super intrigued, and I went to see it maybe like opening night. I can't remember, with like a bunch of my friends, and the theater was packed front to back, side to side. Like, it was ridiculous. And it was probably, like, hands down the best movie going experience I've ever had, because it was like everybody would laugh together. Everybody would jump together. Everybody, like, it was so much fun. They did a great job. And to me, it was like the movie that brought horror back, because it had been dead for so long and kind of a joke.
Right.
And it really was, in my opinion, the movie that brought it all back and started it up again. It was so much fun. So much fun. But also, like, I mean, I was like 17, I think, when this movie came out. I don't know, 16, 17. I can't remember. And I mean, it was so good. But I remember, like, screaming in certain parts. I'm like, oh, my God, or like holding on to somebody next to me. Or and then the next day, or like 2 days later, I drove up to Santa Barbara because I was going to go to school there. And two of my friends came with me. And thank God for my two friends, because it was like the universe had aligned this perfectly. So my mom let me borrow the car so that I could go, and I had to do like orientation or something. And she goes, or somebody in my family is like, oh, you better be careful. The car's going to break down on your way. It's going to break down in Oceanside. And the effing car breaks down in Oceanside.
Oh, no.
Dude, it's like 5 in the morning. It's pitch dark. Where we broke down, there's like a base, a military base, Marine Corps base. But we broke down and got off the freeway, and it is pitch dark. There's nothing, like, the gate was not even visible from where we were. And so one of the friends that was with me had also gone to the movie with us and is like talking about how, oh my God, what if, you know, the killer is out here.
All the things that you need to hear.
Yes. Yes. When we are alone in the dark, in the desert, like, there's nothing, literally tumbleweeds in the street, like in the freaking road. Oh my God. I was like, shut up and get in the car and lock the doors. So one of my friends had a cell phone. The other one had AAA. Tell me the universe did not align. Bring that together.
Right?
Yes. It was perfection. So we ended up like the tow truck came. He took us to the service station where I was going to leave the car because I talked to my mom. And then he dropped us off at Amtrak so we could take the train up to Santa Barbara. And then my friend that had the cell phone, she called her brother so he could pick us up because he lived in Santa Barbara. It's a whole story. Such an experience, obviously. And I'm not telling the story very well right now because I feel rushed, but such a good story. But it's good to have friends like that.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And now I have the cell phone. And hopefully if something happens, you have AAA because I don't have AAA.
No, but we could figure it out.
We know enough people that can come and yes. rescue us. Hopefully we have battery life in our phone.
Right?
Hopefully. Mm-hmm. But I promise that if we're broken down on a dark and creepy road, I will scare you.
Gee, thanks.
You're so welcome. All right, guys. So that wraps up part two of the curse movies and curse movie sets. And, you know, we brought the goods. I'm excited. I like this one. I was really proud of this one.
Yeah, I'm probably going to sleep with all the lights on tonight.
Mm-hmm. I told you can spend the night here.
Oh, I might.
We can share a pillow.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Or Huey will be like, come sleep with me, girlfriend. Huey believes that. So if you don't remember, Huey's my lab, you guys.
Was he a cuddle bug?
He ish on his own terms. He doesn't like to be handled. He doesn't like it. So it has taken me, Huey is six. And the first few years that we were together, I would like hug him, like bear hug him. And he would go. And so now it took a while. So over the last few years, he's been good. I'd say like the last two, three years, he's been good. And I can like squeeze him and like rough him up and he's a-okay. Like his tail wags the whole time. He gets down. Anybody else does it and he still like growls. So you got to cuddle at your own risk because he might get pissed. I don't know. But he will share his bed with you.
Aww.
Because he loves you. He really, I think, genuinely believes that Maria is his girlfriend. He just loves her.
He's a sweet puppy.
He is a sweet puppy. He's my baby bird. So anyway, you guys, part two, we brought the juice and that's that. Thank you guys for joining us for another amazing episode of The Media Matters. That was part two of our cursed movies and movie sets. And again, that was so much fun to do. And Marie and I we laugh at freaking everything. So, you know, no surprise there. But you guys, thank you so much for being with us again for episode. I don't even know what episode we're on now, like 18 or something. I don't know. But we're having a blast doing this. And every time we do a new episode, it is even more fun than the last. I don't even know how that's possible, but it's a thing. So then I really, really want to say thank you so much to everybody that is checking out iTunes and subscribing to the show and leaving us an awesome review. You guys, it means everything to us, to every podcast. It really does. Thank you so much for taking just a few minutes out of your day to do that and to just write a little something nice about the show and any show that you're checking out, because all of us really appreciate it. And if you haven't yet, please make sure you subscribe to the show and go to iTunes and leave us a review. Please, please, pretty please. And make sure you follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Media Matters. And email us if you have a ghost story or any kind of paranormal or supernatural story or topic suggestion or question or, I mean, anything, you guys. We just love to hear from you guys so, so much. I have been hearing from so many of you submitting stories and just asking questions. And I am having a blast interacting with you. I promise you. Like, it is just so much fun for me. So the medium at themediamatters.com. Make sure you email us. And again, if you've got a story and you want to send it audibly, we would love to hear it straight from you guys. So keep in touch. See you next Tuesday. Love and light to one and all. Good night, friends.